What's up, everyone? Aaron Nagler here, PackersNews.com. Nagler's never right. The offseason marches on. The Green Bay Packers have signed Mo Wilkerson and Jimmy Graham and released Jordy Nelson. And I know this podcast is a day late. I suspected we may get some news late on Thursday. We may have, but we didn't. And so while I was waiting and waiting and waiting, I decided just to record this today, hoping maybe something would break overnight, but it didn't. So now I'm going to record this podcast on early Friday afternoon, meaning undoubtedly the Packers will make news after I finish recording and rendering this whole podcast completely obsolete. But I do it for you. I do it for you fine listeners and folks and streamers and downloaders out there. So how about Brian Gutekunst saying the Packers will be aggressive? Certainly can't call what he's done so far anything but going out and getting Jimmy Graham. Now, and I know let's touch on each kind of transaction one by one. With Graham, I understand the trepidation from some people in regards to the cost. I know the initial reports on the contract are 3 years for $30 million with certain guarantees that, you know, to be honest, we haven't been able to confirm yet. And I'm very reticent to speak on how the Packers did here until I see actual numbers. And I know people will point to, you know, stuff that NFL Network has put out there. I just like, you know, to wait to see what we actually, how it actually breaks down. Because a lot of times those numbers that you read initially, almost all times actually, that when you read those initial numbers, those are put out by agents trying to make, obviously their client, but in extension them, look good. You know, they want to make it seem as though they got the best deal for their client. And obviously, when Graham was reportedly being courted most heavily by the Saints and Packers, got to think he was able to drive a little bit of leverage there using bouncing one off the other. But I'm still very interested to see, you know, this aging wide receiver heading definitely into the last part of his career. $10 million per, that does sound a bit pricey. But I think a lot of it will come down to how the contract is actually structured. If there is some kind of get-out clause, so to speak, after 1 year, if it, you know, turns out to be looking like a bad investment. That's something actually they had in Martellus Bennett's contract last year before it all went to hell. But, you know, as far as what he brings on the field, you can't deny the athleticism. It is still there. His ability to jump up and go get the football is definitely still there. He certainly suffered in terms of drops in 2017. There's no doubt there. His production between the 20s absolutely fell off a cliff. His, you know, yards per catch plummeted down to, I think it was 9.1 on the season. So you can't deny the things that are going on there and start to wonder how much he has left in the tank. Now, that said, he also scored 10 touchdowns and continued to be a extremely effective red zone threat. And that was pretty much what Jordy Nelson had become. You know, Nelson's contributions between the 20s were extremely limited. But what he offered in the red zone, especially with his connection to Rodgers, you know, clearly was leading the NFL in touchdown receptions prior to Rodgers' injury. His effectiveness there can't be questioned. But what I think the Packers get now is someone with a lot more flexibility as far as where they can line him up and what they can do with him in McCarthy's offense. And it allows them, you know, to maybe get some younger guys on the field, obviously, in Geronimo Allison, D'Angelo Yancey, Michael Clark. And obviously it allowed them to shed a little payroll, you know, $10.9 million off the cap, which allowed them to get Jimmy Graham and Mo Wilkerson. So I don't think there's any question that they're going to miss Jordy Nelson's presence in the locker room. He was obviously well-liked, well-respected, clearly Aaron Rodgers' best friend on the team. But as far as play on the field, I think it's an upgrade, because if you're talking about a straight one-for-one swap, Nelson's ability as a vertical threat obviously diminished over the last year and a half. There's no question there. Graham can still get downfield from various parts, not just on the perimeter. And there's no question that when the Packers did, quote-unquote, run the table a few years ago, it was definitely in conjunction with Jared Cook coming back from injury and opening up the entire offense. And that's not necessarily meaning, you know, with catches and with production, so to speak, in the box score, but his presence forced defenses to play the Packers in ways that allowed Aaron Rodgers to like find the weakest link, basically. You know, it's not always about, well, he's on the field and he's catching 10 balls per game. He catches 3 or 4 balls per game, but he's also drawing coverage, making defenses declare at the line of scrimmage what their intent is, because they can't exactly roll over a cornerback over on Jimmy Graham or he's going to eat him alive. You just throw a bunch of short stuff at him and there's no, you're not going to body him. But if they roll out a linebacker, now there are more athletic linebackers who can maybe play that game, but he's going to be able to beat most of those guys with speed. You roll over a safety, well, now you've got a single high safety look, and you can probably go to work on the other side with Davante Adams. And just that ability to kind of dictate what the defense has to do, that to me is much more valuable than what Jordy Nelson was offering at this point in his career. And I don't for a second discount Nelson's ability. I think he will be productive in Oakland. But I think in the Packers system, I do tend to think Jimmy Graham's a little bit, you're going to get a little bit more bang for your buck there. So I understand that reasoning. Now, the negatives on Graham are very real. And anybody who's followed me for a while on Twitter or social media in general, back to my days with Cheesehead TV, you'll know I am not a huge Jimmy Graham fan. I've never been a huge fan of his game. I think he is a bit one-dimensional. One of the reasons New Orleans wanted to move on from him in the first place, it was because his presence on the field is so specialized, defenses could start to get an idea of what was coming. Not necessarily, we know it's going to Jimmy Graham, but he's not in there to block. He's not in there for the run game. It allows defenses to get into their sub packages just on sight alone, The question is matchups. How are they going to match up with him? But they know the threat of the run is greatly diminished when Jimmy Graham is on the field, and that hasn't improved with time. The book has always been that he is a poor blocker, and that has not changed. And to my mind, to my eyes, I've always seen him as a bit of a front runner, where when things are going well, he's productive, he's in the flow of the offense, he can be very effective. But I think you've seen several times, both in New Orleans and in Seattle, where if things start, if the offense starts to struggle, he's not involved, that's when his concentration seems to wane. I think that's, what we saw a bit last year with some of the drop issues. And again, I can't take away from his athleticism. I can't take away from his ability, because it's there. There's zero doubt about that. It's just he has this habit of disappearing for long stretches, and clearly that happened at times in Seattle, where that's the one worry you got to have. If you're looking at that, as far as what he's going to bring to your offense, you need him game in, game out, week by week, and not to disappear for 3-4 weeks at a time, which has definitely happened over the course of his career. And then looking at the Mo Wilkerson addition, reportedly $5 million for 1 year. That to me is a great addition. That's a solid pickup, and a guy who's really going to upgrade you from Dean Lowry, who I thought, first year as a starter, I thought he did well. He played fine. But Mo Wilkerson's just on another level. He's on a whole new planet. Hell, he is the planet, He's a big guy, athletic as hell, clearly going to be part of a line that's going to create problems for offensive fronts. The question, obviously, and the reason he became a free agent, is, effort, concentration, professionalism. These are all things that he was much maligned for here in New York City during his last 2 years with the Jets, his last year in particular. I think that's where a one-year deal really serves the Packers well. And it's funny, I remember when Wilkerson initially came to visit Green Bay and then left, and my Twitter feed was wailing Packer fans upset about Green Bay allowing him to leave the building. And lo and behold, he took some other visits and he came back to Green Bay. Obviously, I think Mike Pettine is a big part of that equation. But I also think the Packers, you know, you've got Aaron Rodgers there at quarterback. You've got a really highly successful team in general over the last decade. It's culture of winning. That's something I think that was really important to him. I know Tom Silverstein put that out there last week, 2 weeks ago, how he was ground down by all the losing in New York and the dysfunction of the franchise itself. Now, you know, even though they have gone through obvious changes this offseason, I think Green Bay is still viewed as a very solid franchise. You know, they're steeped in history. Culture is strong. It's all football all the time. There's not much else to do, obviously, up there in Green Bay. So he can focus on his craft. And I tell you what, if they get the guy with his head on straight, I'm not going to sit here and say he's going to be a 10-plus sack guy again, but I think they can count on him not only being a big-time addition and asset along their defensive front, but he will cause some disruption up front in the middle. And that is something, obviously, Mike Daniels and Kenny Clark are very good young, well, Kenny Clark is a young guy. Daniels is entering the middle of his career. But, you know, guys who they are clearly disruptive, but neither one of them have been the disruptors that Wilkerson has been at his best. And if they can add that into the mix, the three of them are going to cause major, major issues. And then obviously we come to the releasing of Jordy Nelson. And I know there are a lot of emotion around this for Packer fans. I understand the arguments for keeping him around. You know, I went on a pretty decent-sized film clip, you know, I don't know what you'd call it, tweet storm, a couple weeks ago when people were talking about cutting Nelson. And I was never, you know, pro or against. It was just kind of trying to put it out there that he can still be effective in the offense. He can still be productive. But I think you really saw Father Time starting to knock at the door there in 2017. I don't think any objective observer could look at his effort, his lack of suddenness, his inability as far as getting off press, getting, you know, creating separation in ways that when he was younger, and even in the year when he won Comeback Player of the Year, he wasn't a burner, but he was able to, you know, get out of breaks suddenly, still able to make some sudden moves that created just enough separation. That has started to wane. Now, I'm not saying it's gone completely, but you definitely saw the first signs of it. And the old adage, better to move on from a guy a year too early than a year too late. Ted Thompson has done that a lot throughout his tenure. Now, I suspect that's what Gutekunst is doing. Thompson's failing the few times he's gone down this road, and we've talked about it before, has been a lack of a replacement. You know, it's one thing to move on from Charles Woodson because you think he's slowing down. That's all well and good. I understood that move at the time. The problem was is that they then turned around and had M.D. Jennings playing at safety. Now, I don't think the Packers are in that position right now. I think Geronimo Allison could step in right now and be effective. He's not an M.D. Jennings-level player. But he is definitely not the player Jordy Nelson was even 2 years ago. You know, he's a fine complement in the offense, and I think he can give them some production. But that's a significant drop-off in my mind. And I do think they'll be continuing to look in free agency, but most likely they'll be looking to add someone in the draft to, you know, complement Davante Adams on the outside and the perimeter there. But, you know, I don't think they're going to get a ton from, you know, anybody they might find in the draft. There's always surprises, obviously, but I do think, you know, Jimmy Graham is going to have to pick up a lot of the slack there production-wise. But as far as Nelson goes, I know there are some sentiments out there. Michelle Bruton, my old colleague at Cheesehead TV, wrote a column for Fansided saying that Jordy Nelson deserved better. And I understand that sentiment. I really do. But as I always say, quote the great screenplay by Cameron Crowe, it ain't show friends, it's show business, you know, and Jordy Nelson knows it's a business. Everyone in that locker room knows it's a business, and I have little doubt that players were upset, maybe a little rattled, but, you know, you sleep on it, you come back to work, get back to work. Jordy Nelson did a lot for the organization. It was time, in Brian Gutekunst's mind, for them to move on. They released him prior to free agency, so he was allowed to quickly, you know, find new employment, which he did. Obviously, there was a lot of interest. He signed in the first place he landed. You know, it's hard for me to say that he was done wrong. That's all they owe it. To me, if they had held on to him, say, for a month, and then, you know, all the free agency dollars were spent. Well, not, I mean, people still have ridiculous amounts of cap space, but, you know, rosters were set. Say, you know, releasing him even closer to the draft or after the draft, that would have been, to me, that would have been disrespectful. But, you know, asking him to take that pay cut down just above the veteran's minimum, which is hovering around $1 million, I think, that's a sign of respect. You know, look, we still think you can be productive. We don't think we can carry you at 10 point whatever it was on the salary cap, but we're willing to keep you around at this number. Obviously, Nelson wasn't amiable to that. And I know James Jones called it insulting, and that's the player's perspective, and I understand it. But, you know, from the Packers' perspective, they're trying to get better. They're trying to move forward. And at the end of the day, they made a business decision. And they're always hard. It's always tough when well-regarded players who have been around for a long time, which Nelson obviously has been, when it's time for them to move on, or when the, you know, organization deems it's time for them to move on, it's hard. I get it. It's tough. Those are real connections that they have. And, you know, like I'll keep saying it, I still think he could have been productive. There's no question there. But there's also, people got to remember, say, Donald Driver's last year in Green Bay, when it was clear that he had been kept around a year too long. And he was scraping by on special teams towards the end, begging to play special teams towards the end. Nobody wants that for Jordy Nelson, you know, which is where that was headed. So, you know, when you wonder why they did it, go back and remember the drop passes, the half-hearted efforts that you saw in the cold in December in 2017. That's why they moved on. Not because, yes, he still had a nice connection with Aaron Rodgers. And maybe, you know, maybe, just maybe, I know this is crazy, but maybe Nelson moving on forces Rodgers to open up the offense a little bit more. Maybe he doesn't center on Jordy Nelson so much, you know, which he has admitted he does. And there are a lot of weapons still, a lot of weapons on this Packers team. So, I understand the emotional connection to Jordy Nelson. He, as my colleague Pete Doherty put it, is a player that improved each and every year, and it was really kind of amazing to see how far he came from his first year or year and a half. You really wondered if he was going to stick around, to his, you know, kind of star turn in the Super Bowl. And then, you know, his whole career, basically, from that point on, he really ascended to, at one point prior to the injury, I would have called him a top five wide receiver in the NFL. I thought he was one of the most underrated players in the league. You know, and you would always, I would always have these arguments with people about, you know, he's not as good as Dez Bryant or whoever, whatever the great, you know, number one wide receivers were at the time. And I always said, you just go back and watch the tape, man. He was absolutely lights out there that 2010, 11, 12, in growing into 14 stretch. I mean, he was absolutely incredible. So, yeah, I get it. Like I said, I get the connection. I get the emotional investment. But it's a business. And the Packers decided it was time to move on. And it'll be exciting to see how some of these young guys come along and what the Packers do to kind of augment the wide receiver depth chart, whether that is in free agency or the draft. And with that, I'm gonna kick it, because I'm sure there's been some news breaking while I've been recording this, or will undoubtedly break tonight. Make sure you're checking PackersNews.com for all the latest on whatever the breaking news might be. And I'll be on Facebook Live pretty much every day, from every weekday anyway, from now until the draft, unless there's breaking news on the weekend, then I'll be on then too. So make sure you're checking that at the Packers News Facebook page. PackersNews.com will have everything for you in regards to the Packers. Make sure you're checking it each and every day, each and every hour. And thank you so much for listening, downloading. I can't tell you guys how amazing it is that you choose to make me part of your your Packers routine. And with that, I will bid you adieu, and I will talk to you next week here on Nagler's Never Right.